Greetings. I'm Matt Matthews, one of the pastors here at First Pres in Champaign, and I'm happy to welcome you to our media ministry. Join us in person. We're located at the intersection of Church and State Streets, adjacent to Westside Park in downtown Champaign. Our traditional worship service is at 9 a.m. on Sunday morning, and on most of those Sundays, we offer French translation. Our contemporary services on Sunday begin at 11:15 a.m. When you come to First Pres, what you'll find, what I hope you'll find, is a community of people who support each other and who are passionate about making a difference in our community and beyond. You'll find relevant teaching for children and adults. We have at least a dozen Bible studies and small groups, including pickleball. That's right, pickleball. Adult choir, a bell choir for all comers, and other programs and events designed to grow your faith and give you and me opportunities to serve. There's a place for you. I'm glad you tuned in.
Our scripture reading today is John chapter 20, verses 19 through 31. When it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and the doors were locked where the disciples were for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." When he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." But Thomas, who was called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands and put my finger in the mark of the nails and my hand in his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were again in the house, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were shut, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Do not doubt, but believe." Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe." Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples that are not written in this book. But these are written so that you may continue to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that through believing you may have life in his name. This is the word of the Lord. As far as Christians go, we should still kind of be riding the emotional high from last week at Easter. The resurrection has happened. He is risen. He is risen indeed. We are all excited to be in the season of Easter after coming out of the somber contemplative season of Lent. In our story today, though, the disciples couldn't be further from that joy in the resurrection. Instead, they don't really seem to know about it yet, and they are scared. They have locked themselves away in a house. I like to believe that it's the same house that they spent Maundy Thursday in, just because it would be nice and poetic for them to be locked away in that upper room. We don't know that, though. But they are locked away because they are scared of the Jews. Now, I think we need to take a brief tangent here. John uses that word in a lot of various different ways, and the ways that John has used that word in the past have been used to be anti-Semitic and to interpret scripture in a way that is harmful to Jewish people, and that is not what the meaning of this word should be used for here. Here, Jews is being used to refer to the religious leaders of the time. The people that they were scared of are the same people that persecuted Jesus, and they are wondering if maybe they will come after them now, wanting to stop any second leader coming forward and leading this group. We know that that's not going to happen, at least not yet. They are all scared, and they have locked away the world. They have pushed everything else out except for themselves. They are scared for their own safety and lives. And it's fair for them to have been scared and to try and pull themselves into isolation. Their worlds had been shook to the foundations by the loss of their leader and their very close friend Jesus. They had expected Jesus to be the next Messiah, someone to bring about this new kingdom. And now they were left adrift without a leader, a leader whose body was even missing. So in that fear, in that place of being shooken up and having no foundation to stand on, they locked themselves away. But here in this attempt at isolation, here where they try and cut every single thing off, Jesus intrudes back into their lives. Breaking the laws of physics, Jesus passes through the door. The door does not open for him. He passes through even as he wears a body that very much still has the marks of his death. This is the real physical body of Jesus that has just passed through a wall. Physics cannot stop Jesus in his goal of bringing peace and hope to his disciples. He tells them to peace be with you. He says it twice just to make sure that they really get that that peace is theirs to have, hopefully giving them that firm and stable foundation to stand upon once again. And then he brings them hope by saying that the Holy Spirit will be with them, giving them the energy and the power to go out and do things like forgive sins and the other various miracles we are going to get to hear about in the book of Acts. And yet, at least when I read this story, it seems to me that the door kind of remains shut. We don't hear about them going out in the meantime. When Thomas returns to the 10 disciples that got to see Jesus, they are still there and they tell him the good news. And Thomas doubts it. And he gets a bad rap for being a doubter. People have, you know, Thomas the Doubter is something that was stuck in my head so much that I thought Didymus, the word for twin, actually meant doubt for a bit. And then when I checked, it means twin, which maybe refers to a double amount of the doubt, is what I saw a commentary refer to. I'm not sure about that. But the doubts he had are just about the same as the other disciples. The other disciples got to see the hands and the side before they started to believe what the women had told them originally. But even as he is doubtful, Jesus once again intrudes. Again, we are told that the door is shut and Jesus just kind of comes into the room anyway, once again, just passing through a wall in order to bring the good news to someone who truly needs it. Jesus brings him peace and even offers him the very odd ask of allowing him to put his fingers in his hands and his side. But Thomas doesn't actually need that. Thomas leaps at the opportunity to get to worship Jesus and to be happy that his friend is there again with him. In this story, at the ending of the passage that we read, it sounds like what could be the ending of a book. And that's actually what some authors think, or some scholars think, that this scripture was actually the original ending of John, and then we have an afterword afterwards. Or something else like that. And I think that honestly, this ending was quite nice. That little snip at the end of this is here to help you believe. Jesus did tons of other things, but this is here to give you the good news. And what we are left with at the end of the Gospel of John, in this version of it at least, is this story of Jesus breaking into our lives, giving us stability and giving us energy to go out and do good things. We are often tempted, though, to cut ourselves off from things and to bring ourselves in, to create safe, well, safe spaces is kind of a word that gets argued over, but make spaces where it's only us or where we feel more protected. And that's okay. Having a place of respite is something that is healthy and good to do. But when that becomes your whole existence in this tiny space that you have made for yourself, you're beginning to cut other things off. You are missing out on the entire world because maybe you're scared. Maybe you're worried about something. Maybe you have some fears that can't be assuaged. And that is where Jesus comes in to do work. It brings me to a thought that I learned about in seminary, or something that was taught to me in seminary, called a scarcity versus abundance mindset. I'm sure I've talked about it with some of you before. I don't think I've talked about it in a sermon, so hopefully that's true. But it's this idea that we can either be in a mindset that we have an abundance or a mindset that we have scarcity, and those influence the actions that we take. When we think we have scarcity, we do things like the disciples did. We cut ourselves off from things. We pull things closer. We hold on to things tightly so that we don't lose the only things that we think we have. I think a lot of our churches today are in a scarcity mindset. We feel like we don't have the number of people we used to have. We don't have the money we used to have. We don't have the programming we used to have. We just need to get those things back. We just have to do these things again and do them the same way, and maybe that'll bring them back. It's all of this thought on, we aren't as big as we used to be. What do we do about this? And it causes fear and anxiety and worry. But we saw what Jesus does with fear and anxiety and worry. No boundary, no barrier, no wall is strong enough to keep Jesus from bringing peace and hope to his people. Jesus comes back into our rooms when we are in this mindset of scarcity and reminds us of the abundance we have. He brings us peace and gives us a stable place from which to do the work that he is calling us to. And then he gives us hope as well. We have abundance in the name of the Holy Spirit, an abundance of things that aren't the same resources maybe as what we had before. We have imagination. We have spaces. We have ideas that we get to play with and to work with. We have abundance even in the midst of what the world might call scarcity. The Holy Spirit is with us, providing more than we could ever need. And we may be scared a little bit. I know I've talked about this before, but it's a good thing to talk about. We may be scared a little bit of what the future has for the church. The church doesn't look like it looked 10 years ago or even 5 years ago. So it'll definitely be different in the future. But we must remember that Christ is going to be with us each and every step of the way. Christ will be providing a platform beneath our feet in order that we can continue to walk forward. And Christ will not let our fear or our anxiety keep him away. Nothing can stop the love of Christ from entering into our lives and giving us peace. And Christ will be joining us as we leap out from this platform to try and do the good work, sending the Holy Spirit to be with us as we try and find the new ways, the new ideas that will carry our churches forward and to carry us as a congregation forward. Easter is about a time of resurrection. Christ in this story, honestly, resurrects the disciples' energy, resurrects their hopes in what Jesus was all about. And in this time for our churches, Jesus is here doing another resurrection with us. Let's follow Christ's call back out into the world. A call that won't stop at our walls, won't stop at our doors, won't stop at any barriers we place in front of it. Amen.
Thank you for joining this podcast of First Presbyterian Church Champaign. Visit us at our campus at the intersection of Church and State Streets in downtown Champaign. And for more information, visit us online at www.firstpres.church. Have a great week.